Okay, good morning everyone, good Chodesh. Today's daf is Lamed Vav. The Rav told me he didn't have time to record it, so I'm going to try and pick up from where he left, although our time management is going to be a challenge today. Okay, so the Gemara left off. Reb Chiya Bar Abba said that it's a raya from our mission that Simchus and the Chachamim argue, even in a case of Bari Ubari, where they're both saying that they're certain about their claims. And the issue we dealt with yesterday was that if you say it's talking about Bari Vibari, then the Seifa works out that it would be a kasha on Rabba Bar Nasan, who's the one who says that if one person claims one thing and the other person answers saying that they admit to something else but not what they claimed, then it's as if the first person was mochel what was owed to him, because he's only pursuing chitim in that case, and he wasn't interested in sorim, and therefore he doesn't have it. So the issue was, if we understand that the seifa, where it seems the implication would be that it's a motzi mechavel of a raya, but if he wouldn't bring a raya, then he would pay according to what the mazik was saying. And the mazik, remember in our mission, was always saying the lesser thing, either that it was a tamu damage, that it was a smaller animal damage, these things. So from the fact that you still pay the way the mazik said, it would be a kasha on Rabba Bar Nasan. But if you understand, therefore our mission would be Shver on Rabba Bar Nasan, and it doesn't make sense that Rabba Bar Nasan would say what he says if there's a Mishnah against him. So therefore, it must be talking about Bari Vashema. So we're picking up, five lines up in the skinnier lines. So we're saying, but once you say it's Bari Vashema, then you're able to explain that it's not Shver on Rabba Bar Nasan. We'll see why in a moment. But this is then Akasha on Reb Chiya Bar Abba, who understood that Simchus argues by a case of Bari Ubari and not a case of Bari Vashema. So now the Gemara wants to figure out, how does this work when we say it's a claim of Bari Vashema, that there's a certain claim and there's an uncertain claim? The Ka'amri Bari Man, the Ka'amar Bari Man, the Ka'amar Shema Man. Who's saying Bari and who's saying Shema? So we say as follows, and remember, this is the case where one is saying that it was the mu'adu damage, and one is saying it was the tamu damage. So the nizik wants it, the one who was damaged wants it to be that it was a mu'adu damage because he gets full payment. And the one whose animal did the damaging wants it to be a tam so that he could get away with half payment, with chatzi nizik. So he says, inema dekamar nizik bari, vekamar mazik shema, that the nizik says, the one who was damaged says, I'm certain that it was a mu'ad. And the mazik says, maybe it was a mu'ad, and therefore we're saying that, I'm sorry, maybe it was a tam, and therefore we're saying that since the mazik admits at least it's a tam, then therefore we hold him accountable only for tam, but not for a mu'ad, because the mazik is uncertain. So if that's the case, akati lema taviti ofta deraba bar nasin, then you should say, we still have a problem. That the whole reason that we switched to Bari Vashema was because it would be a Tuyofta on Rabba Bar Nasan. We're still going to have that. Why? Because the Nizik is saying it was a Muad, and the Mazik is saying, no, maybe it was a Tam, and we're holding him accountable for a Tam. Now, according to Rabba Bar Nasan, if one person says it was for sure this, and the other person admits that it was something different, that's not an admission at all, and he would owe nothing. So it can't be the case that can't be the case of Bari Vashema, because it would still be a Tiyufta on Rabba Bar Nasan, just like it was a Tiyufta to say Bari Vibari. So Ella, the Kamar Nizik Shema, the Kamar Mazik Bari. So he says there must be a case where the Nizik says, the one whose animal was damaged says maybe it was a Muad. And the one whose animal did the damage says, no, it was for sure Tam. So in that case, why is that better for Rabba Bar Nasan? Because what's the reason Rabba Bar Nasan says that you don't have to pay? The reason you don't have to pay, the reason why when one guy claims chitin and the other guy admits sorin, the reason he doesn't have to pay is because by claiming only chitin, the person is mochel any claim he might have for sorin, right? But in this case, the one who is damaged, who's the nizak, says, I don't know, maybe it was a tam, maybe it was a muad. So he's not giving up anything, he's not being mochel anything. So this way works better for Rabba Bar Nasan. So we're saying that the nizik says, I don't know what damaged me, and the mazik says, I'm certain it was a tam. So therefore, we say that he would pay the tam, and it's not shver on Rabba Bar Nasan. So we're saying that we've answered how it is Bari V'Shema. We said it must be Bari V'Shema because otherwise the Mishnah is a Kasha on Rabba Bar Nassan. And so we leave off that we don't have a proof to from our Mishnah to Reb Chiya Bar Abba that Sumchis argues even by Bari and Bari because we're talking about Bari V'Shema. But the Gemara has a problem with saying this. The Gemara says, so what you're telling me is Umidim Seifa Nizik Shema Umazik Bari. We just figured out the case of Bari V'Shema has to be where the Nizik says maybe it was a Tam, maybe it was a Muad, and the Mazik said it was for sure Tam. So then, once you're saying the Seifa is Nizik Shema V'Mazik Bari, then Reisha Nami, we're at the first wide line, Reisha Nami Nizik Shema U'Mazik Bari. So then you should say that the Reisha and the Seifa have to be parallel to each other and should be talking about a case where the Nizik says maybe and the Mazik says for sure. So what was the case in the Reisha? The case in the Reisha was the one where one guy said it was your animal that damaged and one guy says no, it was the rock. So if we're saying that the Nizik says maybe it was the rock, the one whose animal got damaged says, maybe it was the rock, maybe it was your shor, and the guy whose shor it is says, no, it was for sure not my shor, it's for sure the rock. So if you're saying that's the ratio, that doesn't make any sense, because the whole point was we were saying that they were coming to say that Sumchis was arguing on the Chachamim, and Halach is like the Chachamim. He says, what do you say? Va'amar Sumchis hafilu b'hach, the Isra ha'ashminan delo. Is it possible that Sumchis would possibly say his Halach in such a case that the Mishnah needs to come to say not? What it's saying is, it's impossible if some guy says, if I walk up to you and say, maybe I owe you money, and you say, no, I don't owe you any money. I'm sorry, maybe you owe me money, and you say, no, I don't owe you any money. There's no question that we shouldn't say, okay, let's split it. One guy's saying, maybe I don't owe you money. The other guy's saying, I don't owe you money. So for sure, that's not the case. And there's no way that he would have to pay half. So the issue is as follows. If you're understanding the case of the Seifa, in order to make it not shver, and Rabba Bar Nassan is talking about the Nizik says maybe, and the Mazik says definitely, then if you look at the Reisha, it doesn't work, because it's impossible that Simchus would say his halacha in that case. So the Gemara says, so therefore, if the Reisha and Seifa don't match, when we say Bari V'Shema, then you may as well say Bari V'Bari, and the fact that the Reisha and Seifa don't match is not a problem, because that was the original Kasha on Reb Chiya Bar Abba, is the Reisha and Seifa don't work. So we say, now you've switched it to Bari V'Shema, and the Reisha and Seifa still don't work. They're still shvering each other. So the Gemara says, no, they're not shvering each other. You can't say it's Bari V'Shema. Why? Because Seifa, the Seifa, where they're talking about a Mu'ad or a Tam, Nizik, the Nizik Shema, so the one who was damaged says, I don't know, maybe it was your Mu'ad, maybe it was your Tam. Umazik Bari, and the Mazik says, no, it's for sure the Tam, so therefore he pays the Tam. Reisha, whereas the case where they're arguing was in my animal or the stone, Nizik Bari, the one who was damaged says it was for sure your animal and not the stone. Umazik Shema, and the Mazik says, I don't know, maybe it was my animal, maybe it was the stone. And therefore, in that case, Sumchis and the Chachamim argue about that. So Sumchis would say, because the Mazik is not certain that it was his animal, and he's saying maybe it wasn't, so that's a suffix and you split it. And the Chachamim are saying, no, because since one guy's positive that it was the animal, the other guy says, I don't know, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, that in that case, you have to bring a raya, and it's hamotzi mechavero all of a raya. So now we're saying, now it works, the Reisha and Seifa work, because the Seifa is the Nizik is Shema, and the Mazik is Bari, and the Reisha is Nizik Bari, and the Mazik is Shema. So the Gemara says, but at the end of the day, v'halo damya Reisha l'Seifa. So, but at the end of the day, the Reisha and Seifa don't match. And again, the entire Gemara, the sequence we've been going, each Kasha on one or the other, and the Kasha on Reb Chiya Bar Abba to begin with was the Reisha and Seifa don't match because it has to be Bari V'Shema in the Seifa, and the Reisha can't be Bari V'Bari. But he's saying, now that you're saying that it's different who says Bari and who says Shema, the Reisha and Seifa don't match. So the Gemara says, Amri Bari V'Shema, Shema V'Bari Chad Milsahi. That when you have a Bari and a Shema, it doesn't matter whether who says Bari and who says Shema. As long as they're both a case of Bari V'Shema, that's one matter. Bari U'Bari, Shema U'Bari, Trei Mili Ninu. But on the other hand, if you have the Reisha talking about Bari V'Bari, where they're both certain, and the Seifa is talking about where one guy's certain and one guy's uncertain, that doesn't match, and that's shver. So therefore, and I'm sorry we rushed through this, but therefore we leave it off, that we were trying to bring a raya, Reb Chiya Bar Abba was trying to bring a raya from our Mishnah, that Simcha says that even by Bari U'Bari, because he says low-key, that was what we said yesterday, and then the kasha on him is that it's if you understand it that way, then it's shver, because the Seifa is talking, the Seifa would be a kasha on Rabba Bar Ibn Nassan, so we have to say it's Bari V'Shema. The Gemara goes through figuring out what's the case of Bari Veshema. Then we say, well, maybe Bari Veshema doesn't work because you have to swap which one, the Nizik or Mazik, which one is saying Bari and which one is saying Shema. So the Gemara says, that's not a problem. As long as one guy is certain and one guy is maybe, the Reish and Sefer match, and therefore there's no Raya that Sumchis says his Halacha even by Bari Ubari. So he may say it, but we just don't know it from our Mishnah. Okay. Gufa Amar Rabba Bar Nasan. Rabba Bar Nasan, this is the halacha we learned yesterday. Ta'anu chitim v'hodol abisorim pater. So a guy comes up to someone and says, you owe me $100 worth of wheat. He says, no, I owe you $50 worth of sorin, of barley. So Rabba Bar Nasan's halacha is that since the guy who makes the claim is only claiming wheat and he's not claiming barley, it's as if he's mochel the barley. And therefore, he has to pay nothing at all, not even the $50 of wheat that he had admitted. So the Gemara says, "My kamashman, what's your chiddush? What are you telling me, Tinino? We learned it already in a Mishnah in Shavuos that Tanu chitim v'hodolo b'sorim pater. That same words, but it means something different there. There, it's talking about the question of moda b'miksas." Moda b'miksas has to make a shvua. So we know that the halacha is, if I come up to you and say, you owe me $100, and you say, no, I only owe you $50, so you have to make a shvua because you admitted part of what I was claiming. So the Gemara in Shavuos, the Mishnah in Shavuos tells us as follows, that if I come and claim chitin, $100 of chitin, and you say back to me, no, I only owe you $50 of sorin, that's not considered moda b'miksas that I admitted in part, because I admitted no part of what you claimed. You were claiming $100 of chitin, I didn't admit $1 of chitin. I admitted $50 of sorin. That's not considered moda b'miksas. But the Gemara is saying, once we see that by moda b'miksas coming back and saying, I owe you $50 of sorin, when the guy claimed $100 of chitin, if that's not moda b'miksas, then similarly in our case, we should see from that Mishnah that if one guy claims one thing and the other guy admits something else, he doesn't owe it, because it's not considered a parallel admission. So the Gemara says, Ime hasam hava mina pater mi d'mei chitin v'chayv d'mei sorin. He says, so basically what the Gemara is saying is, I might have thought that it's only that way by moda b'miksas admitting and to make a shvua that he's pater, but at the end of the day, since he is admitting that I owe you $50 of sorin, that I should have to pay at least that much. So in other words, by a shvua, you're going to say it's a technicality. But here, at the end of the day, and therefore the technicality is not met and there's no shvua. But at the end of the day, money is money, and the guy's admitting that he owes him $50. Kamashwan de patu legamri, that he doesn't have to pay anything. And again, as Rashi explained, because the person is basically mochel any claim of barley by saying, you only owe me $100 of chitin. Okay, so now we're going to have the same Gemara twice, and it's really similar to what we did before, which is in each case, just the structure. In our Mishnah, we had halachas where they were arguing back and forth, and we'll see each case. And they then came and said, Amotzi Mechavero of Araya. And we asked before that if it's Amotzi Mechavero of Araya, the implication would be if he doesn't bring Araya, you give him just what the Mazik was claiming. And if you give him just what the Mazik was claiming, seems to be a kasha on Rabba Bar Nasan. So we asked it before from the Seif of the Mishnah. Now we're going to ask it from two other parts of the Mishnah. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Hayu Hani Zakin Shnayim Echa Gadav Echa Katan, that you had one of the damagers was the large one and one was the small one. And the Mazik said it was the small one who damaged, and the Nizik said it was the large one. So he said, Amotze Mechalver of Araya, that the one who was trying to get it to be the large one damaged has to bring the Raya. So the Gemara says, Hello, Maisi Raya, but if you wouldn't bring a Raya, and there's no proof that it was the large one, Shakul Kedamer Mazik. That you would take the way the Mazik said, which is saying that it came from the small one, that it was a small animal damaged. Amai, why should that be that? That this is the same case where one guy's claiming your large animal gored my animal, so therefore I'm only claiming from the large, and you're saying no, it was the small, so you're admitting in something else. So why should that be that if you can't bring a raya that it's the large, at least you pay the small, you should pay nothing, according to Rabba Bar Nasan. So the Gemara says, you're right. Roy lito ve'enlo. It means it's appropriate for him to take from the large as long as he can bring a raya. But if he can't bring a raya, he would get nothing at all, just like Rabba Bar Nasan. So maybe our Mishnah means that. So the Gemara says, but I have a problem with that. But Tanya, we learned in a brisa, hareza mishtalim al katan min agadol agadol min akatan, that we pay for the we pay from the small animal on the large animal that was damaged, and from the large animal on the small animal, basically meaning that we take the mazik's version of events. So if the nizik was claiming it was your large animal that damaged, and the mazik says, no, it was only my small animal, according to Rabbi Bar Nassin, you would pay nothing. But yet we see from the Braisa that you pay at least from the small on the large, which is the mazik's claim. So why is that not shver on Rabbi Bar Nassin? So the Gemara says, the tafas. Because the guy, we've had this many times, the guy went ahead and grabbed the animal. Having taken possession of the animal, the halacha is different. And so even though Rabbi Bar Nassin says normally you wouldn't pay him anything because he was answering about something else, in this case we're talking about a case where the nizik grabbed the animal, and because he grabbed the animal, the halacha is different. Same exact Gemara, but different case. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Ya Echad Tam Echad Muad, there was one Tam and one Muad, and Nizik Amar Muad, Hizik is a God of a Tam, it's a Katan, that the one who was damaged says that your Muad damaged my big animal, and your Tam my small animal, because that maximizes the Nizik's claim. But Mazik Amar, the Mazik says, Loki, Ela Tam, it's a God of a Muad, it's a Katan, my Tam ruined your large animal, there, but I'm only going to pay you Chatzi Nezek, and my Muad, which I have to pay Nezek Shalom, only damaged your small animal, and therefore I have to pay less. The halach is, Amotzi Mechaveh of a Raya. So that's the Mishnah. So the implication, the Gemara says, Halamaisi Raya, but if he wouldn't bring a Raya, that it was the Muad in the large and the Tam in the small, Shakul Kedagamer Mazik, that you would at a minimum pay him the way the Mazik claimed, which is that the large animal was damaged by the Tam and the small animal by the Muad. V'amai, why should you pay him according to the Mazik's claim? Chitin Esorin, you know, it's a case of Chitin Esorin where one guy claimed only that your Muad damaged my large and your Tam my small. So when he says no, the Tam the large and the Muad the small, so he's not admitting to any part of his thing and he should have to pay nothing. So the Gemara says, you're right, top of Lamavav Amanalf, Roy Litova Einlo, that he, in theory, if he can bring a Raya, he should take it. But in this case, if he can't bring a Raya, he would get nothing like Rabba Bar Nassin. So the Gemara says, Vatanya, we learned in the Braisa, Areza Mishtalim, Lekatam in Amuad, Lugadam in Atam. But the Braisa tells us that in fact we do pay something, that you pay as if the small animal is damaged by the Muad and the large animal is damaged by the Tam, which is the better case for the Mazik. So why is it, according to Rabbi Bar Nassin, you should pay nothing at all? So the Gemara answers again, same answer, the toughest, that we're talking about a case where the Nizik went ahead and grabbed it. Okay, half hour for today's daf. Hayishneim shel ish echad shneim chayavim. So this was talking about as follows. So the Mishnah was talking about a case where you had two people's animals were chasing one shor, and one of them damaged, and we can't prove which one. So they each say it was the other guy's shor. So the halacha is that he's pater because you can't prove whose shor damaged. The Mishnah then said, but what happens if the two shvarim, the two ox were chasing one animal, but they both belong to one person? So at the end of the day, we know for certain that the owner of those two oxen owes money to the guy who was damaged. So in that case, we say shneim chayavim, they're both chayav. So the Gemara is going to say, Amalei Ravim Parziko L'Ravashi, Ravim Parziko said to Ravashi, Shema Mina Shvarim Tamim Sheziku Ratzim Izagova Ratzim Izagova. Is it possible that, should we learn from here the idea that when you have two Shvarim who are Tam, they're each a Tam, that one of them damaged, that you could choose Ratzim Izagova, Ratzim Izagova, you could choose which one you want to collect from? And that seems to be, it doesn't make sense. And Rashi says, if you imagine one of them got lost, do you think that you would be able to just claim from the other? Wouldn't he be able to say, you have to prove which of my animals it was, and one of them got lost? So are you telling me that's what we should learn out? So we say, no, you're right, that doesn't make sense. So hachub mayaskina, what are we talking about here? B'muadim. That we're talking about not where they were tamim, but they were muad. So therefore, when a shar muad attacks, not only does he owe nezek shalim, but he has to pay mishtalim min aliyah. He could pay from any of his assets. So therefore, of course you could take the remaining of the two shvarim, because those aren't assets, just like you could go take anything else that the guy has. So therefore, if we're talking about muad, it doesn't matter if one of the shvarim ran away, because all of his assets are owed to pay this debt. So the Gemara says, even muad, and if you're telling me that we're talking about a muad, ema seifa, say the next part of the Mishnah, which says, Haya echa gadol echa katan, that there was one large and one small, hanizik amar gadol hizik, v'amazik amar lo ki ela katan hizik. So what happened? That the guy had two animals, a large and a small, and he wants to say that the small one is the one that did the damage, because then it's a tam, and you only owe the money up to the value of the small animal. So you'd rather it be the small animal be deemed the one to attack, not the large one. So the Gemara says, "Amotzi mechaber of a raya." You have to bring a raya that it was the large one. Ibe muadin, my nafkalei mina. Sof to make turim al yaboy l'shlume. So he says, you're telling me that the way to understand the first part was because we're talking about muadin, and that's why we don't care if one animal runs away because he anyway owes the full value and all of his assets are pledged against it. But if you're telling me we're talking muadin, I'll tell you the seifa, and the seifa they're arguing about, was it the small animal attacked or the large animal attacked? Why would they be arguing about that? Only if it was a tam, because then a tam, you only pay up to the value of the animal. But if it was a muad, you owe the full value anyway, and you owe from all the assets, so why are they arguing about whether it was the small one who attacked or the large one who attacked? So that very clearly seems to be the seifa. They're arguing about a case of a tam. So how could you say that the reisha was talking about muadin, and that's why we don't care if one runs away? But the seifa clearly is talking about a tam. So you can't say they're all talking about muadin. Amrlei seifa b'tam v'reisha b'muadin. You're right. So the seifa is talking about a tam. That's why they were arguing whether it was the small animal who attacked or the large. V'reisha b'muadin, the ratio where we were saying even if one runs away, they're both chayev and you could collect from the other, is because it was muad and you don't collect only from the animal that damaged, and therefore you can collect from the other shor. So Amalei Rav Acha Sabal, Rav Ashi, Rav Acha said, I have a problem with, forget even the question of whether the Reisha and Seifa match, I have a problem with you understanding this case in the Mishnah to be talking about Muadin, because, and again, what was the language? It was that if you have both Shvarim that were running after the animal belong to one person, we said, Shneim Chayavim, they're both Chayav. So Rav Acha Sabal said to Rav Ashi, Ibn Muadin, Chayavim, if you say it's muad, why do you use the word chayavim? They are chayav. Chayav gavram ibayle. If it's talking about muad, remember muad, the animal doesn't owe anything. It's the owner owes something. In a tam, you could say the animal is chayav. Why? Because you only pay from the value of the animal. So the animal is chayav. But if you're talking about muad, why are you saying chayavim, they are chayav, that the two shvarim are chayav? It has nothing to do with the shvarim. It has everything to do with the owner. So you shouldn't say chayavim. You should say chayav, that gavra, chayav gavra mibayle. You should say that the owner is chayav, not that they are chayav, meaning the shvarim. Vesu, and furthermore, my shneihem. What does it mean, shneihem chayav, they are both chayav? If you're talking about a muad, there is no both. It's the owner who's chayav. So clearly he's saying, you cannot tell me that the reisha is talking about where it's muad. So that's not a good answer. So now, at least the Reisha and Seifa match, we're both talking about tamin. But the question is, if they're talking about tamin, how could you say that even if one of them runs away, you could collect from the other, and someone has a choice, at the end of the day, you still need to prove your point. So he says, Eliolim betamin, that really we are talking about tamin, and what they're basically going to say is, here's how to read the Mishnah. When it says, if both of them belong to one man, shnehem, if they're both here, they're both present in front of us, chayav, and then they're chayav. But in fact, if one would run away, you wouldn't be able to collect. Why? Rabbi Akiva hidam or shutvin ninu. I'll get back to that in a second. So Rabbi Akiva says shutvin ninu. V'taima de'isnayu l'tarvayu. The reason he can collect shneihem chayavim is because shneihem, they're both there. D'loy mati marchile. Because he can't push him off and saying, you can't prove that you can collect from one of these because he's saying one of these attacked my animal. But if they're not both there and one of them is missing, Matzi Amarle, he can say, Zil Isi Raya, the High Torah Azkech, V'yashalom Lecho, go bring me a Raya that the one that remains and the one that didn't run away is the one that attacked me. So that's very simple. So in other words, we're talking about Tamin and we were just reading it wrong. The way to read it is not the Shneim Chayavim that you can collect from both, it's that Shneihem, if they're both there, then Chayavim. Now the Gemara seems to talk here a little bit about Rabbi Akiva and Shutvin Ninu, which is the machlokas we'll encounter more. We encountered in the past. Rashi explains it with that. Tosus makes it a little easier. He says that we're talking about whether it's Rabbi Akiva or whether it's Rabbi Shmuel, it doesn't really matter. And the reason the Gemara mentions Rabbi Akiva is because it's a bigger chiddush for Rabbi Akiva to say it. Don't have time to fully examine that. But basically that was the teretz, is that you cannot, if they're not both there, you cannot collect, because he could say, bring me a proof that the one that remains is the one that damaged you. Maybe it was the one that ran away that damaged you. Hadron Allah HaManiach. Okay. So, Shor Shenagach Arba V'Chamisha Shvarim Zachar Zeh Yishalim La'achrim Shebehem. You had a short tam that gored four or five shvarim, one after the other, although we're going to see in Rashi's not exactly that you pay to whoever is the last owner. So let's say you had a shor, it's worth 200 dollars, and it kept 200 zuz. It kept goring other shvarim that are worth 200 zuz. Basically, the last guy collects. Now, how do you have a shor that gored four or five times and is still a shor tam? Because we're talking here about a shor tam. Because if it's a shor muad, who cares what you can collect from the animal? It's who you can collect from the owner. So Rashi explains, he saw an animal, he gored it. Then he didn't gore it. Then he did gore. Then he saw three or four more, and he didn't gore. Then he gored one. So the point is as follows. To become a shor muad, we're going to see this as we go on in Baba Kama, you either need three in a row, or you need some kind of pattern. You could say he gores every third shor, that would be a muad. But if he gores one, not yes, no, three, skip here and there, it doesn't establish a pattern of muad, so it's still a tam. And so the basic idea here we're saying is that you pay whoever was the last one. So let's say he gored five shvarim, he would pay the owner of the fifth shor. If there's extra money, yachsa shalafanov, then you would pay the owner of the fourth. That's how we're understanding it right now. If there's even more money after you've paid the fourth and the fifth guy, yachsar shalof nefan, if you do the one that's the third to last, the number three. V'achron achron niskar. Basically, the idea is that the last guy benefits the most, meaning that he gets paid in full. Divrei Rav Meir. These are the words of Rav Meir. Now, the Gemara is going to try to understand. We're going to spend time trying to understand what is this case. Why should the halacha be that the last guy gets paid? That's what we're going to discuss in the Gemara. But before we get there, let's do Rav Shimon's opinion. Rav Shimon says as follows: Shor shavim masayim shenagach l'shor shavim masayim ein avel yafak klum. So he had a shor that was worth 200. That gored the shor that was worth 200. And let's just say the nevela isn't worth anything because it messes with the math if it is. So zen notomana v'zen notomana. So they each take 100. Why? Because we're talking about a $200 shor that killed a $200 shor, so it's a tam. He has to pay chatzi nezek. So now, the owner owns $100 worth of the shor, and the first person whose animal is damaged owns $100 worth of the shor. Chazer v'nagach shor acher shav masayim. So now the animal that has two owners, the original owner and the first damaged person, they now each own half of the shor, and the shor goes and gores another shor and kills him that's worth 200. And again, there's the nevela isn't worth anything. So now there's two owners, the original owner and the first damaged party. Now they're both owners because we're going like Rabbi Akiva, who says that they become shutfim in the animal. So now you're each 50-50 partners. So now it went and gored another shor, ha'achron notomana. So the second person whose shor got damaged takes 100. Why? Because he had a $200 shor that got gored by a $200 shor tam. So he's owed 100 because it's chatzi nezek. So therefore, he takes 100 worth of this shor. V'shalafanav zenotachamishim zoz. So now remember, the owner and the first damaged party were 50-50 partners in the shor. Now it went ahead and damaged a new shor, so that guy gets 100. Each of those guys who previously owned 100 have to each pay half, so they each pay 50. So they're left with the second damaged person owns 100, and the owner and the first damaged party each own 50. Chazav v'nagach shor acher shav masayim. So now it went and gored another shor that was worth 200. So now you had a shor that was owned 50% by one guy and 25% by two guys. So same deal. Ha'achron notomana. The guy whose shor was damaged most recently takes $100 because he's getting his chatzi nezek. V'shalafanav chamishim zuz. The one before him who was the 50% partner, which was the second damaged party, takes 50 zuz. V'shnayim arishonim dinar zav. And the two original guys will each take 25 because they were 25% partners. And therefore, if we have to pay the newest guy $100, so the 50% partner pays $50, and each of the 25% partners pays $25. That's much easier to understand because it's Rabbi Akiva. We've learned Rabbi Akiva many times that when a short tam damages the damaged party becomes an owner of the short tam immediately. So we have the ratio, which we really don't understand, which just says that when the shor gores multiple times, you pay the last guy first. And then we have Rabbi Akiva's opinion in the form of Rabbi Shimon, which is saying that they each become owners, as we've discussed, and therefore they each pay in proportion to their ownership because they all should have watched the shor and made sure it didn't damage. Okay, Dr. Gemara, Masnisin money. Who is the Tanakama of our... Well, we know it's Rabbi Shimon. I'm sorry, we know it's Rabbi Meir, but who does it go according to? Delok Rabbi Shmuel or Delok Rabbi Akiva? Because in fact, Rabbi Meir is a Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, and the halacha, so in other words, we want to know which of his Rebbeim is he following. Is it like Rabbi Shmuel or like Rabbi Akiva? It seems to be like neither. Ik Rabbi Shmuel, if it's like Rabbi Shmuel, Damar Bali Chovas Nenu, Rabbi Shmuel is the one who says that when a short time damages, the damaged party does not become a partial owner. So what is he? He's a Bal Chov. So now the question is, Hi Achron Niska, Rishon Niska Mi Baile. Why would you tell me that the halacha is that whoever was the most recent one to be damaged gets paid? The halacha would seem to be the opposite. Generally speaking, when you have people who are owed debts, whoever is the earliest debt gets paid first, then the next guy gets paid. So instead of saying the last guy should get paid first, you should say the first guy should get paid first, if we're talking about a Baal Chov. So clearly, by saying that the last guy gets paid first, we're not talking about a Baal Chov, and we must be talking about something else. So it's not like Rabbi Shmuel. So it's not Rabbi Shmuel. So Ik Rabbi Akiva, but it doesn't seem to be Rabbi Akiva either. Because if it's like Rabbi Akiva, the Amar Turi de Shutva, who says that that the Nizek becomes a partner in the Shor, Ha Yeshbo Moser Yachser Shalafanov Lekulam Ibayle. He says, okay, but according to, so what did we say? We said that you pay the last guy. If there's extra money, you pay the fourth guy. If there's extra money, you pay the third guy. But if it's Rabbi Akiva, we have a real problem, because what does Rabbi Akiva hold? Rabbi Akiva holds that the last guy who got damaged, in fact, gets paid his whole 100 zuz. But then if there's another 100 zuz remaining, who should it belong to? It should belong to the prior owners, which we said were 50%, 25, 25. So why would you give extra money beyond the last guy to the fourth guy? You should give it to the prior four people and the owner, because that's what happens. Each time it damages, you get new ownership in the shor. So why would you go from fifth to fourth to third? You should go from fifth, should get paid in full, and then it should be 4, 3, 2, 1 plus the original owner should all get the rest, because they each own it in some proportion. So therefore, the Reb Meir does not seem to be saying either like Rabbi Shmuel nor like Rabbi Akiva. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Le'olam k'Rabbi Shmuel. The Amar Balei Chovas Ninu. Really, we are talking Rabbi Shmuel, that says that they are just simply creditors, and they don't own a portion of the shor. And if they don't own a portion of the shor, then they have no obligation to watch it, and therefore their claim should be intact. And what was our problem? Our problem was, if so, the first guy should get paid first, because whoever has a claim, a lien on this shor first, should get paid first. So why should the last guy get paid? That we had a question that we said, why should the last one get paid in full? It's the first one who should get paid in full. And if there's anything left, you should then give to the second and the third. And what are we talking about here? So he's explaining as follows. This is a unique case. Normally, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the first guy would damage, he should get paid. Then the second, then the third, and then the fourth and the fifth. So why are we starting from the last one? Because what happened here? The owner's shor damaged. It damaged my shor that was worth 200, right? So he now owes me 100. So what do? I take matters into my own hands and I grab the shor. At that time, the fact that I'm holding the shor is a benefit to me, because the guy, the owner, can't run away with the shor and not pay me. And remember, I need to collect from this shor because it's short time. So I'm getting a benefit by having grabbed it. So the Gemara is saying, the fact that I grabbed it makes, and that I'm getting a benefit, makes me a shomer sachar, which I am now responsible for damages. So what happens? The owner is entitled to $100 of the animal. I'm entitled to $100 of my damages. But I'm now 100% responsible to watch this animal. So now the animal goes while under my watch and damages another animal worth 200. So that guy's owed 100. Where should he get paid that 100 from? He should get paid that 100 from me, because I'm 100% responsible for watching the shore. So the owner keeps his 100. My 100 shifts from me to him. Now, he is now the shomer sacher and responsible for damages. When it gores the next shore worth 200 and you owe that guy 100, so then that guy takes it from the guy after me, and it goes down to the third guy and the fourth guy and the fifth guy. So that's why the last guy gets paid. So remember, though, what's happening here. The original owner, it still has his 100, and the 100 that I took went to the second guy, the third guy, the fourth guy. So we end up with a scenario where the last guy should get paid, because each of them grabbed it and became responsible for it as a shomer sacher. So that's how we explain why the last guy gets paid first. So now the Gemara said, "Ihachi yesh bo moser yachzor shalafanav yachzor lebailami baile." So the Gemara said, "But that's a problem because that you now explained why the last guy should get paid the 100. But the question is, the Mishnah says that if there's extra beyond what you have to pay the last guy, it goes to the fourth guy. But that should not be the case because remember what we decided is that the owner should still own 100 and the last guy should get 100. So if there's extra beyond the 100, which there should be because the shor is worth 200." It should go back to the owner. It shouldn't go to the fourth guy, right? So it's a good explanation about why it ends up at the fifth guy, but it does not give a good explanation of why any extra money should go to 4, 3, 2, 1. Extra money should go right to the owners. So the Gemara says, Amaravina, Hachi Kitana, Im Yesh Bo Moser Ben Izakov, Yachter Shalafanov. He's saying as follows, that if there's extra money that the person before him is owed, then the person after him, then you give it to him. So what does that mean? That means as follows. Let's just say that the fourth guy, his shor was worth 200, so he's owed 100, right? So now the next guy, the last guy who gets gored, his shor was worth 50, let's say. So how much is he entitled to? He's entitled to 25, right? But I'm the fourth guy, I'm entitled to 100. So what should happen? The last guy gets paid 25. The 75 extra of the damage money goes to the fourth guy, to me, but the owner still owns his 100. So basically what we're saying is, it's the second 100, the owner keeps his 100, it's the second 100 that we're taking up the ladder. So if you're able to pay off the fifth owner with $25, you still have $75 left, so it goes to the fourth. If the fourth is owed also $25, you're going to go to the third. So that is the right balance. So in other words, the owner maintains his 100. It's the other 100 that went from Shomer Sachar to Shomer Sachar to Shomer Sachar. So the last guy gets paid, then the fourth guy, then the third guy, then the second guy, and it all makes sense as to why. So we're saying that our Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel, and it is Baal Chov, but the reason the first guy doesn't get paid is because they each became a Shomer on it, and therefore the shares pass from one to the other. Once there's enough money, it starts passing back till you pay everyone who is damaged at least as much as you can from the money that's there. So we've now explained our Mishnah. So we're saying that that Reb Meir in fact says like Rabbi Shmuel. So what do we have? We have the Reisha being Rabbi Shmuel, and we have the Seifa being Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva talks about it being a partnership. V'chein ki asa Rav Amar Rav Yochanan mishum shia shamim nagubo. So when Ravin came, he said in the name of Yochanan that, in fact, our Mishnah is talking about a case where the Shomer was Poshea. And again, who's the Shomer? When I first grabbed the animal, I became the Shomer, then the guy after me, so he's saying, a raya that Ravin also held that this was a case of the Shomer. So the Gemara says, B'mayo Kimto, how have you established this? K'Rebi Shmuel, you're saying that the Rebbe Meir holds like Rebbe Shmuel. Ihachi, if it's so that Rebbe Meir is saying like Rebbe Shmuel, Ema Seifa, Rebbe Shimon, then let's go the Seifa. Rebbe Shimon Omer, now it's going to quote the Mishnah in full. Rebbe Shimon Omer, Rebbe Shimon says, Shar Shav Masayim, Shinaga Shar Shav Masayim, if you have a $200 shar, that gore, the $200 shar. Vayner Nevel, Yafa Klum, and the veil is not worth anything. Zen Otomana, Zen Otomana. They each get 100, and they become 50% partners. Chazar, Nagach Shar, Acher, it went and gored another shar, Shav Masayim, that's worth 200. Ha'acher, Otomana, the new guy gets his Chatzi Nezek of Mana, Vishalafun of the one before him, then the ones before him, which is the owner and the first person who was damaged, then not to chamishim zuz, then not to chamishim zuz. They each take 50. Chazav and nagach shar shav masayim achron. Chazav and nagach shar shav masayim. That it went and gored another shar. This is again just quoting our Mishnah. Haachron not to mana. The last guy gets 100. Veshalafon of not to chamishim zuz. That one before him, who was the second damaged party, gets 50. Shnayim arishonim, the first damaged party and the owner, dinar zahav, get 25. 25 zuz. So who is that going according to? As we said before, Asayin l'Rabbi Akiva, that goes according to Rabbi Akiva, Damar Tur de Shutvahu, who says that people become partners in the shore when it damages. So what are we left with? We're left with the Reisha being Rabbi Shmuel, and the Seifa, Rabbi Akiva. Reisha, Rabbi Shmuel, Seifa, Rabbi Akiva. And that's a problem, because why would we have the Reisha and Seifa not match? Moreover, why would we simply say that Reb Meir and Reb Shimon are arguing about the same thing that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva argued about? So the Gemara says, Amri in fact, that it is Reisha Rabbi Shmuel, Sefer Rabbi Akiva, the Ha'amr Le Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, which is actually relates to a different Gemara we had, Shinin, a smart one or sharp one, Shvaik Masnisim V'tah Basrai, stop worrying about this mission and come after me, Reisha Rav Yishmol V'sefer Rav Akiva. In fact, the Reisha is Rav Yishmol and the Sefer is Rav Akiva. We had this by Mishuna Karen B'chatzar and Nizik on Daf Tesvav. We had the same thing. That's where Shmuel actually said this. But the point is, you don't always, it's not such a big deal if the Reisha is one and the Sefer is another. In that case, it was Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanon. So you could have it split in that way. So in fact, our Mishnah, the Reisha, which is Reb Meir, is like Rabbi Shmuel, and the Seifa, which is Reb Shimon, is like Rabbi Akiva. Itmanami, we learned this also on Reb Yochanan, Hekdesho, Nizek, Ikebenayu. That the difference between, so it says on our Mishnah, the difference between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon is whether if the Nizek is Makdish, the animal, whether it works. Now we learned that this was a difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because according to Rabbi Shmuel, when my shor gets damaged, I'm just owed money. I can't be makdish this animal. It's not my animal. According to Rabbi Akiva, when my shor gets damaged, I become a 50% or whatever percent owner in this animal, so therefore I have shaychus to being makdish it. So that we learned was a difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So we're bringing an additional raya that in our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon are having the same argument as Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, because it said that Hekdesho Nizek Ikebenayu, that in our Mishnah, there's a difference between them if the Nizek is Makdish, whether it works. So you see again that our Mishnah is simply another case of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva arguing. Okay, Tanan Hassan, we learned over there. Hatokeh lechaver nosin losela. That if someone, the halacha is as follows. If someone is machlok, is what this means exactly, but either you yelled or blew in someone's ear, and you caused his hearing to be impaired, or you hit him on his ear, like the expression, like you box someone's ears, like you hit him. Now, the particular thing we're learning about here is a kenas. Is the case of boshes, of embarrassment. So we learned that if you hit someone, if you box him upside the ear, that you have to pay him a sela. So that's the halacha. It's a kenas for boshes. So Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Mishum Rabbi Yosi Aglili, mana. That you owe mana. So we know a sela is 4 dinar, and a mana is 100 dinar. So Rabbi Yosi Aglili holds that you have to pay 100 mana, you have to pay 100 zuz, and the Tanakama holds they have to pay 4 zuz, because that's what a sela is. Okay, so Ahu Gavra de Takalachabre, so there was a certain person who did this to his friend, and he had to pay a sela. Shalchi Rav Tuvia Bar Masna lekamid Rav Yosef. Rav Tuvia Bar Masna sent this guy to Rav Yosef to say, Sela Tzuri Tanan or Sela Medina Tanan. We encounter this a bunch of times as we've gone through, that there's the idea that a Sela Tzuri is pure silver, and it's worth 8 times as much as a Sela Medina, that, the country's coin. And that the coins, they didn't want to use real silver, so they would use 1/8 silver, so it had 1/8 the value. So the question is as follows. If you say that a sela tsuri, then that's worth 4 zuz, because 4 zuz is a sela tsuri. But if you're saying that it's a sela medina, then it's 1/8 of that, so it's only 1/2 zuz. So the question was, Rav Tuvia Bar Masna didn't know, should I be charging him 4 zuz or 1/2 zuz? Is it sela tsuri or sela medina? Amrlei tenisua, we learned it. Ushnayim, from our Mishnah. Why? Ushnayim arishanim dinar zav. Because remember, we were giving the case. If this one gores this one gores that one, they each become a partner. Eventually we say it ends up being 100, 50, 25, and 25. Right? So we say, and that's a dinar zav, is 25 zuz. Visaka daitach tani tana sela medina. If you're going to tell me that when a Mishnah is willing to talk about things in the context of sela medina, so then niflug v'nisni ad trace of a sela. So he says, then you should have taken the case one more. And saying if you gored another shor that was worth 200, so then one guy should get, the latest guy should get 100, one guy should get 50, one guy should get 25, and the owner and the original guy would each get 12 and a sela, right? But from the fact that we didn't take it one more level of abstraction down, it must be because our Mishnayis don't get involved at the sela level. So therefore, what do you see? From the fact that it didn't take it down one more level, must mean we don't deal in sela medina. And therefore, when it says that you're owed someone a sela, it has to be talking about 4 zuz, not 1/2 zuz, because if we dealt in 1/2 zuzim as sela, we would have brought it down one more case. So Amar Leh, he said back to him, this would be Rav Tovya Bar Rasna. I said to Rav Yosef, I don't get it. Tana ki ruchli lisli v'lezel. So are you going to tell me that the Tana just keeps talking forever, like a peddler is always talking? In other words, at some point, I gave you three cases. We don't have to take it to a fourth. It's not a raya whether we deal in Sela Medina or not. So my Avi Allah, what was the maskana of the thing, whether you charge, four zos or half a Sela? Pashtua mehadam Rav Yehuda Marav. They settled it based on what Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rab. Ko kesef amar b'Torah kesef tzuri, v'shal devrayim kesef medina. Anytime it says in the Torah that you owe, kesef shloshim, or you owe 100 by, let's say, motzi shemra, or these things, it means kesef tzuri. V'shal devrayim, when the chachamim made up a kenas, kesef medina, it's paid in kesef medina. Therefore, the kenas that's paid for hitting someone on the ear, which is a sela, would be Sela Medina, because it's a Durabanan. So anything Durabanan is Sela Medina. And therefore, you would pay half a Zuz, not four Zuz. Okay? Okay. Amrlei Ahu Gavra. So in this case, remember what happened here, is Rav Tovya Bar Masna had sent it to Rav Yosef in a case where someone actually did it. The guy said, if that's what you're telling me, that my whole damage is a half a Zuz, he says, in that case, Hayo Paga de Zuzo, who said it's only half of those, Loy, but you know, I don't even want it. It's like embarrassing to me that my embarrassment is only worth half of Zuz. Nesvi Laniyim. Go give it to the poor people. I'm not interested. So, Hadar Amarle, then he said, you know what? Nesvi Nili, give it back to me. Ezel Vavri Ben Nashoy, I'm gonna take it myself. I'll go out with it. And he said, give me back my half of Zuz. Amarle Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said to him, Kvar Zachu Be Aniyim, that the Aniyim already Zochen and you can't get it back. Because you said, give it to the Aniyim, too bad, too late. V'yafa gabdalek Aniyim hocha, and even though there were no Aniyim there to take possession of it, Anan, Yad Aniyim Anan, we are the Yad Aniyim. Why? Because Rav Yosef was the Gabbai Tzedakah, and he says, when you said, give my debt, okay, for those who remember Maimon Shleishton, that's how it was conveyed in this case, but he basically said, the Aniyim already own it. Dam Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, because Rav Yehuda said name of Shmuel, Yisomim, Enen Tzrichim Prozbol, that Yisomim don't need a Prozbol. What's that talking about? We know that a Prozbol is a document that you sign, so that your shtaros are given over to Bezdin, so you can still collect them after Yovel. So we have to sign a Prozbol. He's saying there that you see Yisomim don't need to sign a Prozbol. Why? Because Bezdin is already looking out for their interests. So just like you see Bezdin looks out for the interests of the Aniyim and they don't need to do it, so too that Rav Yosef was saying, I look out for the interests of the Aniyim, just like Bezdin looks out for the interests of Yisomim. That Rabbi Machamer learned the same thing. Yisomim ain't a tzrichim prusbol. That Yisomim do not need a prusbol because the court is watching out for them. Rabbi Gamliel beis dino avien show Yisomim hayu. Because Rabbi Gamliel and his bezdin are the father of the Yisomim, and they're looking out for them. Similar thing, Rav Yosef was looking out for the Aniyim. If you come early or on time tomorrow, you'll hear one of my favorite stories from Shas. Okay.